Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
We are into the 12 o'clock hour here on Jones and Keefe. Dan Ball, Justin Turpin in for both Jones and Keefe. We're off for the holidays, but we appreciate you joining us here on Boston Sports Original just after 12 o'clock here on December 24th, 2025. Turp, what do the holidays look like in the Turpin household?
Off to my dad's house after this, and then we're hosting tomorrow. So nice,
really?
Nice and easy, yeah.
How early do the festivities begin?
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
I crack a little beer, sneaky beer, during presents. No, I'm playing. No, probably like one, somewhere in there. Can't go wrong with the one in the morning, though. Like an eggnog.
No.
How about that?
Oh, sure.
Mimosas? Might be a little.
Yeah, far. I don't know. A mimosa hits any time of year, but this is the bomb. Like you're running out of time to rock an eggnog and
whiskey.
I got a whole
thing at home. Whole
really?
Thing of eggnog. One of those pre-made ones.
Oh,
that stuff's
yeah.
Great.
Oh, I haven't tried that. You brought that in and showed it. It's the, I can't remember the name of the brand off the top of my head.
I forget the brand as well, but it's good, man.
Yeah.
It's real good.
Okay.
It's heavy, though, so you can't have too much of it.
Yes, yeah. Andy Hart, after the show on Monday, brought in, he leaves the studio, goes to his truck, comes back with a grocery bag. He pulls out a big gallon bottle or half gallon bottle of like the Hood premium eggnog.
Oh, that's no joke.
Oh my God, no. Starts pouring that out. He also I love him to death. He ordered 50 custom Christmas cups. Basically just like a solo cup with like ho 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 or Merry Christmas on it. It was half red and half green. Puts it down on the table, pours out a couple shots of either maple or what was the other, or caramel whiskey, and then tops the rest off of it with the eggnog, goes Merry Christmas boys, and we had ourselves our
how was our it that sounds delicious.
It rocked.
Yeah,
it rocked. Yeah,
you could get real creative with the holiday drinks.
Yes, you can, and hammered in the process.
Yeah,
so which
sure.
is which is also a lot of fun. But so we were just talking about Jaylen Brown, Boston Celtics. Not only Jaylen Brown on the court, but his reputation in Boston amongst Celtics fans and just the general feeling between the two sides that kind of struck a nerve with some folks. So we'll continue the conversation with you at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Jeff in New Hampshire. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, okay. Just a little bit about Jaylen Brown. As we know, we have a lot of history here with the Celtics. Especially, we talked about the 86 Celtics. Very, very unselfish team and a lot of excellent, very talented players on that team, obviously. I know the Celtics are kind of like new now with four major guys that they lost last year. Kind of like it's almost like a rebuild with young guys, rookies coming in. First of all, there's no I in team. Then there's you're going to have superstars in this league. I'm sure Jaylen wants to show his capability. With Tatum out, all eyes are on him right now. And I wonder if the Celtics would win if he doesn't score as many points. But he's low on assists. If you look at his numbers, 29, 5, 6, and 4. I know they're trying to play team ball. He should be having more assists, I think. If you remember when Tatum a couple of years ago, when he wasn't scoring so many points, he was really, really good when he started getting a lot of assists. Tatum, I'm talking about specifically. I know they're dramatically different without the with the four men they lost, young players in, but the 86 Celtics, obviously it took a while for them to gel. They had a lot of talent, but I like the term, everybody is unselfish. The other night, Tatum went up the floor. He was driving the lane, and he had a guy all over him, and he had a guy wide open underneath the basket, and he tried to take it himself, and he missed the shot. And he should have just passed it off. I think there's a little bit of I'm not going to prejudge. That's not my position, but just got to be careful about ego sometimes.
Okay, Jeff, thank you for the call. There was a lot in there, Terp. What'd you take from it?
Yeah, I get the assist conversation, but Jaylen Brown's led the team in assists 12 times. It's the second most in the team behind Peyton Pritchard, who's done it 13.
Right.
Like, I think a lot of Jaylen Brown's assist, or the lack thereof, specifically at the beginning of the year, was because they come on drive and kick. And what couldn't the Celtics do for the first 10 games of the season?
Hit a gosh darn shot.
That would be it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're not. In order to get an assist, you have to make the shot, or they have to make the shot. So I think part of that is that. I think the playmaking has been great. And
yeah,
another part of that is just the Celtics this year are just a relatively low assist team anyway, because they play so much isolation and they're so good at it that it's not necessarily in their DNA. So I get it. People will look at the assist, and he's averaging almost five. That's a career high. Again, though, he's led the team 12 times.
And something that you cited with Andy off air were the, I can't remember the exact term, I think it was assist-worthy plays.
A potential assist.
Potential
people
assist.
Love those.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's an analytical,
like,
stat.
Yeah, it's like an expected stat. Expected by whom? I don't know. But
right,
that is a stat that would suggest that he was making a lot of plays that deserve to be worthy of assist. They just, again, the shots weren't falling at that point.
It's not necessarily a stat like you reference, like, oh, he had 15 potential assists. Like, of course he didn't have 15 potential assists. Like, you could look at that plays that would have been assists, right? Like, you can look at that anyway. Like, that's just not how it goes. But I think it speaks to the process and how he's creating for others, that if these potential assist number are high, he's doing a good job of creating for others.
Yeah.
So that's why I reference that number. I don't look at it and be like, oh, did you see Jaylen had 15 potential assists last night? Like, that should add to his MVP case. Like, no, not at all. It's
right.
It's about the process and that he's doing a good job creating for others. So I know, like, and also this is another thing too. It's kind of tough for a player like him, like, as a wing to kind of generate those assists. It's not like he's like a point guard like that. So part of that is too. So yeah, he's been just fine in the playmaking department.
Just to catch up on a couple of texts from the 413, Jaylen Brown had dribble problems early. People haven't gotten over. That's a certain
very
point
true.
Of it. Yeah, very, very true. And an element to this, as much as the off-court stuff is, I think, what comes to the forefront in this conversation, there are some interesting, odd, and sometimes unpleasant to watch on-court stuff as well. From the 508, JT was anointed as the one. He is palatable to fans because he says nothing. Funny no one criticizes JT for all his efforts to increase his brand, commercials, etc. I don't think there's a criticism. So the last part, I don't think that Jaylen Brown is criticized for his business ventures, but the second sentence is I think the key, and it's a blunt one. But I think if you were to ask what's the difference in your eyes between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, it would be the off court conversation or the lack thereof. And I think that's where a lot of this derives from. But let's talk about something else that comes to mind with this Celtics thing is, as you talk about the style of play, the development of the younger players, the figuring out of the rotation on the fly, who fits, who doesn't fit, who should be playing key minutes when it matters most. All of that is under the watchful eye of Joe Mazzulla, who I think has been coaching at a level this year that he simply just hadn't been asked to do in years past. When you're blessed with coming into the league and having this essentially all-star team worth of a roster, you hope that you can position them in the right spot, and then you kind of just let a lot of the talent take over, especially with a very three-heavy system. But he's been asked to do a lot this year. He's been asked to figure a lot out because of the changes to the roster, and it's hard to argue with the job that he's doing with this team this year, man.
He has been unbelievable this year. And looking at the coach of the year odds, like, I cannot believe he's fifth. Like, what he's been able to do with this team. Again, they were projected to win 40 games.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to crush that this year, it looks like. And, you know, you didn't really know what you had. And I think a lot of it's an organizational thing. And it's not just solely Joe that deserves credit for it, but to be able to maximize the talent that you're getting out of this. Like, that was the only way the Celtics are going to achieve expectations, is that everyone had to maximize their talent. You had to get the utmost out of everybody for a chance to do that. And they've done that. And, like, we went through some of the numbers earlier. Like, you're beating good teams. You're one of the best offenses in the league. On the points per possession scale, like, you're a top seven team.
Yeah.
Like, you can't argue with the numbers and what they've been able to accomplish. And for a while, and this is a big thing as well, even in the beginning of the year when they were struggling a little bit, when they were kind of going up and down through those first 10 games or whatever, people were really hard, like, quick to jump on, oh, Mazzulla's getting exposed, like, all that. And,
yeah.
Like, it's just hit, as much as we talk about Jalen kind of proving people wrong and really stepping up, I think Mazzulla's done the same. And the other night was the perfect example of it. Like, his ability just to understand what this team needs at any given moment, to pull the starters, that is just such a ballsy move. Less than 3 minutes into the second half, you're playing a 6-win team, and he pulls the starters.
Yeah.
And it works. You go on this massive run, and you win. And after the game, Jalen's talking about, yeah, I was pissed off in the moment, but it made sense. Like, that was an outstanding call by Joe. Made great call. Like, that's why we won the game. And I think he deserves a lot more credit than he might be getting.
And you broached something there that we honestly just wrapped up talking about in terms of Jalen Brown, which is the reputation of Joe Mazzulla amongst fans of the Boston Celtics and just basketball fans in general, because he was met with a lot of vitriol, especially in the playoffs last year, because there did seem to be an appetite for, hey, maybe we need to back off on the threes a little bit, because, again, they were having some historically bad shooting performances to start the playoffs last year, and there weren't any real tweaks that were made. There were a couple of really ugly last possessions in that series against the Knicks. There seemed to be a lot of lessons that could be learned for Joe last year. Would you say that he learned a decent amount, or at least something, from that playoff run last year?
I think he's gotten better every year. The most he learned, obviously, and totally everyone would understand this, would be his first year into his second year.
Sure.
To win the championship in his second year. Last year, I also think he's learned from that, where we've seen different things. They totally mixed up their play style this year. I also think last year, too, is people are going to keep talking about the threes. They missed 75 out of 100 in games one and two.
Yeah.
The most in a two-game playoff span in NBA history.
That
people
was an
are going
ugly
really
watch,
cling
man.
To that.
Woo.
But the issue was, you went out and got Kristaps Porzingis to be that guy. When the offense goes cold, the shots aren't falling, get it to him and let him just get let it get back on track. Just let him shoot over everybody.
Yep.
Get everyone back on track. He wasn't there. He was pretty much invisible. He was unplayable. And now it came out after, like, he was dealing with POTS and he was having trouble breathing and stuff. So you understand why, and credit to him for even trying to play through it, because that sounds miserable.
No doubt.
He wasn't there when you needed him most. And that was kind of the story of his career, like the weird injuries, the weird illnesses. Like, they knew they were getting into this. And I go back to the one. So he gets hurt against the Heat in the first round, this during the playoff run, misses all these games, comes back in the finals, and suffers a rare foot injury that, like, there was only like 50 cases documented in medical history, whatever that means.
Right.
And you have to come off the bench and stuff. And what he did in game one, you can't forget. Like, that was one of the most dominant stretches of basketball I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, and yeah.
For him to do that in the first quarter, just kind of punch Dallas in the mouth and be like, hey, we are the better team. You guys do not stand a chance. They never recovered.
Right.
Never recovered. So you give him a lot of credit, but he wasn't available. And that was the player that they went out and got to be that guy, to get them on track there. So, yeah, I mean, that was a big part of those missed threes, but they've also altered their play style a lot. And I think he deserves a lot of credit. Like, the other night, Monday night, was Mazzulla's 200th regular season win.
Yeah.
Just 200. He's coached 275 games.
Right.
He's won 200 of them.
Third fastest in NBA history behind Steve Kerr and Phil Jackson.
Two
gets
Hall of
a 200.
Famers.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, yeah, he had a good team, but, like, it's not easy to get those teams to buy in. Like, you've seen super teams in the past, like in recent NBA years, that flame out immediately. Look at the Suns. That was supposed to be like an NBA Finals contending team. Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, like, they were supposed to go all out. They were supposed to be a good team.
Right.
They stunk up so bad. The Clippers, Kawhi and Harden, they have like 7 wins.
Right.
The Nets with Harden, I guess Harden, Kyrie, KD, like, the health was part of that too, but they all wanted out after a year.
Right.
Like, it takes a special leader to get all those guys to buy in. And that's not just Joe. Joe deserves a lot of credit for that, but it's also Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown kind of setting the tone. It's like, hey guys, like, they met before the season that year and said, like, we got to buy in. Like, we got to embrace this sacrifice. And that became their mantra for the whole year. And, you know, Mazzulla deserves a lot of credit for that as well.
You know, you bring up something kind of interesting about the NBA super teams. You know, the NBA is a league where we're just numbers wise and finance wise, you can build, or you used to be able to build a super team. Miami, when LeBron goes down there, you get Dwayne Wade, you get Chris Bosh, but you also have Eric Spoelstra.
Right.
So you have a coach who's able to wrangle them and guys who bought in. Versus Phoenix, I think of when I was in New York, the Brooklyn Nets were building their core, but you had Steve Nash as their coach, and so. It's an underrated part of building those super teams is you need buy-in from the players, and you need a system and a coach that is worth buying into. And this year has been the biggest example of the three, just because of the lack of talent, where you are seeing that buy-in, where he can bench the starters and you can come back and win, and everybody's still going to get along and be willing to play with and for each other the next day.
And to that point, it's a lot of unconventional stuff, like at the beginning of the year, whoever struggled when they were kind of figuring out their starting lineup, that started with Hauser, they pulled him. They went to Ugo.
Yep.
They pulled him. They went to Minot. They pulled him. Then they finally settled on Walsh. Like, that's so unconventional. Like, you have one bad game, and that's it. You're out of the starting lineup.
Right, yeah.
Nobody complained.
Right.
Everyone's like, oh, we trust Joe. Like, this is what we're doing. The other night, you pull NBA championship-winning players, Derek White, Jalen Brown, Peyton Pritchard. No one bats an eye because
right.
He won the game.
Against a six-win team.
When
conventional wisdom would say they shot their way into it, they'll shoot their way out of it.
Yeah, the Pacers made more threes in the half than they had all year. But you know what? We're not doing this. We're going to pull you out, and you know these guys are going to get us back on track. You guys will get the opportunity to close it down. Like, it's just been so unconventional, and everyone's bought in.
Yeah.
And that's the most special part about it.
Yeah, it's special is a good word for it, because it's the understanding that, hey, you just use that example. I am pulling you. I'm pulling you from this game because you're not doing your job. You need to trust that these guys are going to go in and do their job so that I can put you back in and you can do your job better. There's a certain level of trust that you have to have in your coach and the system and the belief that, hey, man, I'm doing this for the betterment of us, not against you or not for me. It's just for the betterment of all of us combined. And that's not something that you can always get players to buy into.
And I think it sets a special standard when you do it to the starters as well. It's
yeah.
one thing to have a quick hook with younger guys like the Walshes, the Minots, and those guys try to figure out their role in the NBA and carve out a role and a spot in the NBA. It's one thing to do it to them. It's another thing to do it to Jalen Brown, who is arguably an MVP candidate this year.
Right.
And I think it sets a standard from top to bottom. It's like, we are going to hold everyone to this. This is what you're expected to do. This is the standard, and you have to uphold it. And I think that's a very good thing for this team.
All right, we'll get to your Celtics calls. Matt, Mike, the rest of you, if you can hang on for just a little bit, we got to hit a quick break, but we'll continue on the Celtics. We have the NFL and the Patriots, as well as Christmas Day games coming up tomorrow, all to get to here on Jones and Keith after Jackson gets you caught up on what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. The Bruins, they fell apart in the third period last night, allowing four unanswered goals to the Canadiens, losing 6-2. Swayman had 23 saves on 29 shots. They are off until Saturday when they take on the Sabres. We have a whole slate of Christmas football games for you tomorrow that you can hear. You can hear the Westwood One's coverage of all three games right here on WEEI. First at 12:30, the Cowboys take on the Commanders. Then at 4:15, Detroit takes on Minnesota. And to end the day, we have the Chiefs at the Denver Broncos. If the Broncos do lose and the Patriots beat the Jets on Sunday, the Pats will be atop the AFC. And Brooks Koepka, he's leaving LIV Golf to spend more time with his family. It's unknown whether he's going to come back to the PGA or not. Trending is brought to you by Mario's Roofing. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I am Jackson. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Dan Ball, Justin Turpin in for the guides here on Christmas Eve. It is now a white Christmas here in the Brighton area as we were looking out the window during the break, which Jackson made a good point. Can you... You loved white Christmases as a kid, but now as an adult?
Yes. When I got to shoveling age is when I stopped liking white Christmases. It's a pain in the ass.
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly.
It's a fair point. It really kind of loses its luster. This is a side topic, but so during COVID, when kids were going to school and like doing remote school, they stopped doing snow days. So very briefly before I got my radio job out in New York, I was a substitute teacher. Sick brag, bro.
Really?
Yes.
Mr. Paul, that has a nice ring to it.
Sick brag,
yeah,
bro.
It was honestly, if and when this all falls apart, I would go back and do it tomorrow. It was awesome. But we were teaching where half the group was in person and half the group was remote. They split the grade in half to try to keep people, you know, separate. And when it would snow, because I was doing it during the winter months, they wouldn't cancel school. They would just make all the kids go to school remotely on their laptops. And I thought that sucked.
Snow days were the best.
Snow days are the gift that every kid should be able to experience.
They're like built into the school calendar anyway. Right. Like a certain amount of them. So like they're kind of already preparing for, I think it's like 3 or 4, whatever it is. So
yeah.
Like, you'd think they'd just have those days anyway.
I
have a love and hate relationship with snow days because my mom, every April Fool's Day, every single year, no matter what, I wouldn't expect it every year, she would wake me up and say, no school today.
You're the clown for thinking it was snowing in April, enough to cancel school.
Well, it was a huge snowstorm on April 1st, like 20 years ago. So it was.
I was going to say, did you not have windows at the time?
Or
a door?
I mean, I was, you know, a young boy waking up from a sleep, you know? It takes a while to get the eyes going.
That's true. Yeah, you're not as pragmatic at that age where you're thinking like, hey, let me just go check and, oh, it's a 60 and sunny outside. It's golfing weather out here, but no school. Yeah, it didn't have to be a snow day necessarily. No school can be any number of things. So I'll give you that, but... Yeah, that's tough when it gets to like the 10th year in a row.
I think we might have had one heat day, but I think that I'm not quite sure if that was after me or not. They didn't start doing heat days until like way later.
Right? We got sent home one day because the heat wasn't working in the building.
Oh.
Like probably like 20 degrees out there.
Yeah.
They sent us home. It's great.
That's a tough one for like an old school. I'm assuming it was an older school building that we all went to. And yeah, it's tough to kind of tough it out there.
There was a fallout shelter in the basement of my elementary school. I swear to God.
I can't say I had one of those.
No, I don't either.
Did they just openly tell you that?
There were signs on the wall, like, you know, like the radioactive sign. It was follow shelter in basement. Like, it was like.
Did you ever get curious and wander down there?
No, I should have, though.
Do you think that impacted who you are today, the extra radioactive waste?
Yes, perhaps.
Okay, 617-779-7937. We got some Celtics calls we'll get to here. Mike is in Connecticut. Hello, Mike.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy holidays to everybody. So I heard you guys talking about Joe Mazz. Look, as an old-school fan, I'm not a fan of, like, the three-pointers, but given that the modern game is just the way it is, all right, the fact of the matter is Joe Mazzulla is the best at it. And I heard you guys talking about how he's fifth right now in projected Coach of the Year voting. No matter what he does, he's not going to win. Like, I actually had to Google the last time somebody from the Celtics won Coach of the Year in the NBA. It was Tommy Heinsohn back in 1973. So the NBA media is not going to give Joe Mazzulla his respect. Like, the anti-Celtics bias in the sports media is disgusting. And the fact that Joe Mazzulla is doing what he's doing right now with Jason Tatum being out, and the fact that I think the Celtics are, like, top five in efficiency, top five in point differential, top five in a bunch of other different categories. It just proves that right now, as of right now, without taking historical things into context, right now Joe Mazzulla is the best coach in the NBA. But I think Joe Mazzulla needs to be defended a little bit more. I think he needs to be stuck up for a lot more. And the fact that, like, no Celtics coach has won Coach of the Year since 1973 is a disgrace. I believe Joe Mazzulla should get it. I think he deserves it more than everybody else. But unfortunately, he's not going to get it. And the best part about it is I think Joe Mazzulla knows that, so I think that's what kind of motivates him. I think that's what keeps him going. I think that's what kind of helps him with that, you know, us against the world attitude, because you could see it filter down to everybody else on the roster, especially guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Mike, thank you for the call. Is there something to that there's an anti-Celtics angle on this?
He might be onto something. The fact that Joe Mazzulla didn't win it the year they were 64-18, had a top five point differential in NBA history, were a top five offense, like all these ridiculous numbers. They set franchise and NBA records across the board, and he didn't win the Coach of the Year that year.
Right.
That was so mind-boggling to me. And I get it, like, you're penalized for having a good roster and all that, but explain to me why Mark Daigneault is one of the favorites this year. He inherited a championship team that won 60-something games last year. Everyone knew the Thunder were going to be good. Like, why is he getting the credit, but Joe Mazzulla didn't?
They shell of us!
It might be. It might be as simple as that, because he got robbed that year. Like, we were just talking about it. Just the ability to get all those guys to buy in is so important.
Right.
Not only did he do that, it also produced all-time results. Like, yeah, he should have gotten it that year.
And I go back and I was Googling this on the fly just to make sure. I mean, I was fairly certain of it, but the year that Golden State went 73-9, Steve Kerr won Coach of the Year. So the incredible roster and incredible amount of talent wasn't held against him, but it then turned it around and it was held against Mazzulla. I know that it's a different record, but you're still talking about a similar level of dominance over the league.
They won the Eastern Conference by 14 games. 14 games. Are we serious? That's ridiculous. Like, I can't get over that year he didn't win it. And, you know, maybe he's onto something.
Yeah, maybe there is something there. I'll believe it. Hate us because he ain't us, all that kind of stuff. Matt is in Rhode Island. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? First, I'd like to just recognize Jackson as one of the key players at this station. He doesn't get to speak as much anymore, but he basically has been saving people's lives. The time he fell ill and drinking shower water and had to call in. And my personal favorite, when he called the police at Dollar General when they closed 3 minutes early. Please,
yeah,
Jackson.
It was Family Dollar. Thank you very much.
please keep it coming. Hey, what's up, guys? Sir, last time I called in and spoke with you was when they had a back-to-back against Brooklyn. They were favored by 13 at home. They lost by 14. I was disgusted that day I called in. But, like, you know, Jaylen Brown, you know, he sounded off after the game, called people out. So my point is, with this last thing, I've called him out before for kind of stuff he said. It's been towing the line. But when he said this is his favorite season, and, like, there was a call yesterday, I believe that was clip farmed a little bit. I don't really think it was as bad as, like, you know, disrespecting Tatum. A lot of people are talking about it, but when you talk the talk, you can walk the walk, and that's what Jaylen does. He's a star. This is a team right now, and I'm with it. Thanks.
There you go, Matt. Thank you for the call. Merry Christmas, happy holidays. And Jackson, a hero back behind the glass. Can never lose sight of that.
He brings up two good points. Okay. One, Jackson's the man.
Absolutely.
Two, the second one here, he's right about the question was, the answer is kind of clip farm because the question was how he feels to be so personally involved in the success. So like right. It was kind of set up personally. It wasn't like the question was like, hey, man, you're having a great year. Like, where does this rank in your all-time seasons? Like, it wasn't that. It was his personal contributions to such a underdog story that is the Celtics. Like, I would say right now the Celtics are one of the best stories in basketball. Like, just what they've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, and, yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like they're the little engine that could. Like, it feels like this is sustainable, and it's sustainable in the long term. Like, we're talking about the young guys. What's Jordan Walsh going to forget how to play defense? Hugo Gonzalez is going to just change his play style and not be a maniac? Namish Keita, like, what, he's going to shrink? Not going to be able to block shots and, like, grab rebounds?
It's like, kind of wild, but, yeah.
This seems so sustainable, and that's what I think makes this season so special. And so with the question being how your personal success being so, like, your success is kind of driving this or help driving that, like, yeah, the answer makes total sense. And I wouldn't have a problem with the answer regardless. Like, yeah, you're having your best year of your career and you're proving everybody wrong. Yeah, I totally understand why it'd be your favorite.
I'm a little bit surprised that he went out of his way to answer the question in that way, to be as definitive about this year without my running mate being my favorite season.
This has been my favorite season so far.
I'm a little surprised if he wasn't asked to, like, rank my favorite seasons that I've played in, that he went out of his way to declare that. But again, you're also he's in it right now. He's probably feeding off of the emotion of how great it feels to be undervalued and taken for granted, and then be 7 games over .500, third in the East, all these different things. I'm sure it was just a reactionary thing to how much better than expected this year is going, because I'm sure he sat by and watched what was going on this offseason and wasn't in love with the fact that not only am I not going to be playing with Jason Tatum, but now I'm losing Porzingis and Horford and Holiday and Cornette and all these guys, and I'm playing with a bunch of guys, as he acknowledged in that answer, have never played in the league before. So I'm sure he's probably just saying, thank God, with this year is actually something where we feel like we can compete this year. It just caught me off guard that he chose to be as definitive with it as he did.
The question also was asked like 35 minutes after he scored 14 in the fourth quarter, which was more than the Indiana Pacers as a team.
Right.
Like, you got to feel pretty good coming off that.
And yeah, no doubt.
I also think part of it, too, is I noticed this at Media Day. He just seemed to be so relaxed coming into this year.
Yeah.
Like, and I think the streaming thing has kind of helped. Like, he's showing his personality more. And I think there's no expectations. There's no weight on his shoulders. And I think that's so important for him to just kind of thrive. It's like no one really placed any expectations. Again, it was 40 and a half wins. Like, that was what Vegas put it at. And for them to go out, anything else would have been an overachievement. Like, just go out and play. Hopefully guys develop. We all know that this isn't really a championship contending year unless you guys make it. And they have. So maybe that is part of it as well.
Celtics take a bit of a breather. They are not included in the Christmas Day quintuple header, I think, is it when all told in the NBA. They play at Indiana against the Pacers on Friday night. But before that, we have a lot that's on the Christmas calendar tomorrow. We have NBA games. We have NFL games. Which games are worth watching and which ones do you take your snooze during? We'll talk about the schedule for tomorrow.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, next. Back here on WEEI, Dan Ball, Justin Turpin, Ball and Turp. Kind of rolls off the tongue. In for Jones and Keefe here on this Christmas Eve. It is now fully snowing in the greater Boston area, and we're pumped to be with you here on this white Christmas Eve. 617-779-7937. Tomorrow is Christmas Day, and as such, Terp, 5 NBA games, 3 NFL games that are on the schedule. And my general takeaway from this NBA slate, before I ask you about some of the specifics, is the NBA looked at the quality of teams in the Eastern Conference and the quality of teams in the Western Conference before the season started and said, we need to get our Eastern Conference game out early. We need to get it out before people are hammered. And we need to get the rest of the good basketball on the schedule the remainder of the day. You got Cavs and Knicks at noon, then Spurs and Thunder. Spurs, Thunder, easily the game of the day for you?
Oh, for sure. And that's been a good matchup this year.
Yeah.
The Spurs and the Thunder.
About the only team that has an answer for the Thunder so far.
Thunder haven't beat them.
Right.
0-2.
Right.
Like, that's been one of their hard matchups. And of course, like, Victor Wembanyama was incredible last year when they played the Knicks. Like, he went crazy. That was the first game last year. So he's obviously fun to watch. But yeah, you nailed it. They looked at this slate and they're like, let's get the Eastern Conference out of the way. And
yeah,
honestly, at the beginning of the year, you probably feel good about Cavs and Knicks at the 12 o'clock first start.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, that was probably a lot of people's choice to be the 1 and 2 in the conference. And like,
right,
I think Detroit was lingering in there somewhere as well. But I would bet that more people thought Cleveland would be ahead of Detroit at this time of the year, and Cleveland just might stink. They're bad.
They might, like, just might just know no other the other stink. Bits about it. They might just not be that
but
good.
Brunson versus Mitchell will be fun.
Sure.
Yeah, and same thing. Like, I'm actually pretty excited for the NBA slate. The one, obviously, I'm looking forward to the most is the Thunder and the Spurs. And, you know, can San Antonio keep beating them? Because there seems to be something that they can't figure out. And he's about 7 feet tall. His name's Victor Wembanyama. So, yeah, that's
built like no other human being in human history.
Right. Cooper Flagg, of course.
Yeah.
Local tie here versus Steph Curry. That'll be great. Lakers-Rockets is also a banger.
Yeah.
You know, LeBron, Kevin Durant. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then Timberwolves and Thunder at Timberwolves and Nuggets at night with Jokic and Anthony Edwards, so that'll be good too.
Everybody healthy and available on the Lakers side of things. I know the JV Lakers came to Boston a couple weeks
they
ago.
They are. LeBron James wasn't happy about it. Actually was talking about how at this stage of his career he'd rather just be at home with the family on the couch.
I saw that. Let's discuss that for a moment.
Shall we?
Yeah, speaking of things that I'd not want to hear my athletes say in the media, I'm a little surprised that he is back and playing this year. I would have thought personally that the one thing he needed to check off of his list was playing games with his son, something that he got to do last season.
Right.
And if now your mindset is, I'd rather be on my couch dealing with my sciatica than playing against, and I understand that, you know, coming into the Garden, he's been ducking the Celtics. He's done that on numerous occasions.
Two of the last 3 years.
Right. And that's just kind of become a thing, and I get that. But I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see him score less than 10 points for the first time in whatever it was, 15, 20 years. And I don't want to hear that. Like, I'm always a proponent of the best athletes going out on top being able to kind of call their own shot. That's why I thought that 8-9 season for Brady with the Bucs was just an uncomfortable way for things to end, and maybe him getting a little greedy with it. I don't know. I mean, maybe LeBron has taken this a step too far. Is that a strange thing to say?
I don't think so. I don't think it's that. I think he can still play.
Okay.
I really do think he can still play. And I think people are going to look at what happened when they came to Boston, and obviously him being sidelined, like I said, for two of the last three times he's come to Boston. But that was totally on the NBA. They've scheduled a back-to-back. He's 41 in less than a week.
Yeah.
Like, the guy's about to turn 41. He's dealing with sciatica. Like, that was on the NBA. The NBA fumbled that. That was a bad, bad, bad job. But you do seem... It does seem like some of LeBron's comments, he is a little less interested. Obviously, wanted to stay on the couch. He had another one he was asked. I forget the question, but he's like, I watch golf videos nowadays. Like, you're better off asking someone else. So I also do think with LeBron, though, remember when Miguel Cabrera retired?
Yeah.
Everywhere he went, he got a gift.
Yeah,
and it was a
retirement
big,
tour.
It was a big
yeah.
show. You mean to tell me LeBron James is going to retire out of thin air? Not a chance. He wants one of those Miguel Cabrera retirement tours. He's going to make it known, hey, this is it. Like, this is it for me. This is the last run. I want my flowers everywhere I go. So that's how it's going to be with LeBron. He's not going to just hang them up out of some shock. Like, that's not going
to
happen.
And I would guess he also wants to chase a title one more time.
I think he can.
And I would guess the Luka Doncic trade probably reasserted to him, hey, I might be able to do that with Los Angeles.
And I got the sense last year, just from the outside, obviously I'm not day-to-day on the Lakers beat here, but just from the outside, kind of listening and reading some of his comments, it seemed like he was very open to embracing the role of being the mentor to Luka Doncic. Like, this guy got shipped out of a place that he loved, that he brought to the finals just a couple months before they traded him out. And the general manager at the time pretty much traded him because he didn't believe in his ability to play defense and his ability to lose weight. That is why.
Right.
That is what they've made it clear. And they traded
him. That video
him
of them taking the beer away from him after, what was it, the conference finals.
That was the day the music died.
Yeah.
Like, they took the beer away. True. That was it.
Yeah.
But it seemed like LeBron was very open to embracing that role and being his mentor. And for Luka, that's great. Like, you are, no matter how you feel about LeBron, there is no arguing he is one of the greatest athletes of all time.
Yes, no doubt.
And to be able to do what he's doing at 41, that speaks volumes to it. His preparation, his readiness, everything he does, his regime. Luka Doncic gets to kind of sit with that and sit under that umbrella and kind of see how he does things, how he's able to do things at his age now. Like, it was kind of a perfect match. And J.J. Redick, I think a lot of people were like, what, they're hiring this former player? Yeah, but he does TV and he does a podcast with LeBron.
Right.
So that kind of makes him eligible to be the head coach. Like, people were kind of confused on that, but he's been good. Like, he's been a good coach. So I don't know. It seems like he is starting to check out, though, but he's 100% going to want a retirement tour.
Yeah, that's fair. And maybe one more title just to cap it all off. But NFL slate that kind of is interwoven. So just to paint your to give you the roadmap for what's coming up. So Cavs and Knicks is at noon. Cowboys and Commanders kicks off at 1 on Netflix. Then 2:30 is Spurs and Thunder. 4:30 is Lions and Vikings. So you can essentially watch the beginning of the Cowboys and Commanders game. Get the first half in. That game might be kind of a mess by that point. Then turn on the best game of the day, I think, in either league, which is Spurs and Thunder at 2:30. 4:30, Lions and Vikings kicks off again on Netflix. 5 o'clock is Mavs and Warriors. 8 o'clock, Rockets and Lakers, giving you just enough time for dinner in between. 8:15, Broncos and Chiefs kicks off on Amazon Prime. And then the late game in the NBA, Timberwolves at Nuggets. Okay, pencils down. The 3 in the NBA, or, oh my God, I'm going to keep saying that, in the NFL, Cowboys and Commanders. That just doesn't have a lot of the NFL slate has taken a significant downturn within the last 2 to 3 weeks, mad month at very least, because the Chiefs now being out of it, the Cowboys a couple weeks ago losing to the Lions and being out of it, Commanders now don't have Jaden Daniels. And even the Lions right now, the Lions are really the only team that I look at and go, I'm curious to see what happens with this game. I guess Lions and Denver Broncos for the case of a Patriots fan.
I think if you saw the slate in week one, though, you feel pretty good about it, right?
Yeah,
like the
yeah.
Commanders were in the NFC title game last year. The Cowboys, new head coach, hoping to compete this year. Same like Lions, another perennial playoff team of recent years. The Vikings, yeah, J.J. McCarthy, you weren't really sure what he was going to bring. And then Broncos, Chiefs, like, they probably envisioned this possibly being for the AFC West.
Right.
So, like, you probably felt pretty good about it, but no. And even looking at the this point, the point spreads here. 13.5 point favorites for Denver, 7.5 for Dallas, 7.5 for Detroit. So all Vegas is projecting at least a touchdown from all of these games. So I think it's going to be as ugly as it looks, to be honest. I don't think there's going to be much quality football.
It's a rare time where the NFL rolled the dice and lost. Like, they have had unbelievable luck from their dealer.
It's karma.
Years and years and years.
The NBA's day.
Right, that's right.
Karma.
So, okay, so do you like A, games on Christmas, and B, games from multiple leagues on Christmas?
To me, it's just always been the NBA's day. Like, when you think Christmas, basketball is kind of synonymous with it. And it's the same thing with Thanksgiving and football. Like, would it be weird if the NBA started playing on Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah.
And same thing with the NFL
on
Christmas.
I'd rather watch two football teams I was not a fan of than two basketball teams I wasn't a fan of.
And that's the reality. And right. I think Jackson speaks for a large majority. Obviously, I'm a little bit different. Like, basketball, I cover the league, I'm a big fan of basketball. So, of course, I'm going to watch basketball. But I'm also a big, like, football fan as well. But, you know, I think a lot of people, like the average person, would rather watch a football game as opposed to a basketball game. And I wouldn't be surprised if the NFL ratings do better than the NBA's. Like, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Right.
Like, but yeah, it is a little bit weird to me. Like, and I'm not saying I don't mind. Like, I'm gonna have both games on. I'm gonna have the split screen. That's the best thing about
one
YouTube
beer for
TV.
Each. Yeah,
one beer a game. No, more than that. But you know, that's the good thing about the split screen of the YouTube TV.
Yeah,
both. So yeah, it is just a little bit weird having the NFL on Christmas Day. But the more sports, the better, man. It makes for a better viewing experience.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely the case. It's going to be interesting to have the Netflix experience too for the first two. We'll see what kind of talent they roll forth.
That but
yeah,
their broadcasts haven't been bad.
No, that's true. Yeah, as long as the physical quality, like, it doesn't buffer and anything like that.
The first Jake Paul fight where it was just loading, buffering the whole time.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, is my internet down? And it's like, no, Netflix is having troubles.
Right, right. I'm also not a huge Redcock, and it buffered constantly.
Oh, no.
It was awful.
Sick brag, bro.
I know. Peacock was not bragging the day after. No free ads except for this one, but it was awful.
Just a quick thought on that. What a sad way for such a legendary figure to go.
I agree.
His whole career preached never give up.
Right.
And then he gives up.
Right.
Like, come on. The script writers couldn't do anything better.
I know. I know they were. I'm sure they were trying to be meta, and they're like, all right, he finally gave up. That's the But that's the legacy that he leaves.
It's just such a sad
tapping
legacy.
Out to a guy. I don't know a ton about Gunther, but he's not a legend by any. He's obviously a huge human being, but like, it wasn't like he tapped out to some incredible WWE legend either. It was just like, sat there, little smile on his face, accepted his fate. And I wasn't a huge, not even knowing a ton about the sport and the background and all that kind of stuff, wasn't a huge fan. But big one on Christmas Day. 8 games in total. Grab your booze. Get ready for a fun one. We're reaching the 1 o'clock hour here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get back into the New England Patriots and what's ahead of them this week as a team that simply doesn't have a lot to offer in the New York Jets. We'll do that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks.
Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.